Tech Dorks. Welcome to the Tech Dorks Podcast, where I, Rob Swindell, and my Canadian friend Stephen Hurd discuss things interesting to us and maybe to you, the listener. This show is an unscripted, unedited, unprofessional look into what interests Stephen and I. The only subjects off limits are the three W's: wives, work, and women of the night. If you don't know the difference between DNS and INS, this show may not be for you, but still, we hope you enjoy.
I gotta be honest, I don't really know what INS is.
Immigration and Nationalization Service. You should be familiar with them.
You know, they're not actually the ones that send me stuff. I get stuff from the Department of Homeland Security.
Ooh. I think they're the boss of the INS.
USCIS is the other ones that I deal with. They send me stuff.
Yeah.
That's Customs and Immigration. Yeah, I haven't actually seen anything from the INS. Are they the people who arrest Mexicans?
I think so.
They're like okay, that's patrol. Right. See, I'm Canadian. And by the way, I noticed in the intro, you're actually better at saying Canadian every week. You're improving.
Oh, I'm getting it more often?
Yeah. Yeah, it's happening.
Practice. I think I flubbed unscripted. Unscripted.
I didn't notice, but now I will rewind. I might actually listen to the podcast now just to hear you mess that up. I won't. I'll forget by the time done.
Yeah, me too. Well, inevitably, I have to listen back to it just to see how it sounded in the car and stuff.
INS stopped being an agency in 2003, so it doesn't exist anymore.
There you go.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't come to the U.S. like to live until 2002. And I never really dealt with them for the first 3 years, so that's why I don't recognize it.
Californians will know who the INS was.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly Southern Californians.
I believe you.
Yeah. But yeah, they stopped in 2003, you said?
Yep.
Wow.
March 1st, 2003. Most of its functions were transferred to the USCIS, the ICE, I-C-E, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the CBP, the Customs and Border Patrol, within the Department of Homeland Security.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
See, we all learned something on this podcast.
That's right. Yeah. Do you know how Six Flags gets its name? You should know. You used to live in Texas.
If I knew, I forgot. But yes, I did live very close to Six Flags in Texas, and used to go frequently.
Texas.
Yeah. In Arlington. We lived in Arlington.
As someone who uses text more than they really should.
I guess. Text us in Texas.
But yeah, I recently learned in a discussion on Reddit, I guess I'll give you some background. So, there was a discussion about there was a map of Texas shown. It was a map of the counties, and someone pointed out that the rivers all flow from east to west in Texas. Someone else pointed out, of course, that he was an idiot, and the rivers all flow from west to east into the Gulf.
Okay.
And then someone else chimed in and said, gee, is no one going to mention that Texas used to be part of Mexico, right, as part of a rant. It was a long rant, but, you know, there was the one part that made no sense in that which direction rivers flow was that it used to be part of Mexico. So, of course, I chimed in and said that was after it was, you know, colonized by France for 8 years, then claimed and owned by Spain for 140 years or whatever. And then after that, it was an independent country. And then, you know, after that, it was briefly, you know, in the Confederate States of America. And, you know, it's really important that they mention that it was part of Mexico for 9 years, because that's clearly relevant to the discussion, right?
Yeah.
And I just mentioned that because, you know, it was part of Spain a lot longer than it was ever part of Mexico. So I was just, you know, pointing out how stupid he is. And then one person replies and says, someone sure knows his Six Flags. And I'm like, whoa, really? Is that where Six Flags got its name from? And yes, in fact, that's where it got its name from, is from the six countries, or the six countries that flew their flag over Texas. It was Six Flags over Texas.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I never knew that. It never would have occurred to me to tie those two things together, but
if I did know it, I knew it when I was like 6 years old and forgot it. I probably sung a song about it. Because they have you sing all kinds of patriotic songs where you're pledging your allegiance to Texas. Yeah. And you're learning all about, you know, the state flower and...
Mm-hmm. What is the state flower of Texas?
It's a blue something or other. What the hell? A blue bonnet?
Blue rose of Texas? What, isn't that a song?
I think it's like a blue bonnet or something. Blue bonnet, I think.
Well, here, let me just check it out. The blue bonnet is a wildflower in Texas, but yeah, I'll click that link. And it is the state flower of Texas. Yep, you still know your
bing, bing, bing.
Texas, what do you call it? Fanaticism.
Yeah, trivia. Stuff. Yeah.
Oh, sure, trivia. I guess you could call it trivia. You do well on Texas Jeopardy.
I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of other details I forgot. But, you know, they're very devoted to the history of the state and or the nation of Texas, I guess.
But, you know, for a while, yeah.
Well, I mean, just they feel like, almost like they're still a nation, or they very easily could be, and a lot of people want to be.
Well, I think Texas and California are the only states that really have a country-sized economy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They certainly have enough people and enough land mass to be a small country.
Well, so does Luxembourg. So,
okay.
I mean,
Luxembourg is huge.
Oh, ginormous. That's why they teach you about it. Right?
I don't remember.
You don't remember anything about Luxembourg?
No. I don't remember anything about Luxembourg.
It's
in Europe.
Yes, the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg. Total area is almost 1,000 square miles. Practically 1,000 square miles.
We're getting more listeners.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was trying to get Webalizer running against the TechDorks site, but that's going to be kind of misleading because people that find the podcast just from the RSS feed, well, I guess maybe the RSS polls will show up in the Webalizer app, but I don't know. Anyway, but the MP3 draws could come from your system or mine, or maybe even one of the other mirrors.
Well, you can always just copy the log from there and append it or whatever.
Yeah.
Our Webalizer supports multiple logs in the input, so you can totally have Webalizer combine them.
Yeah, so yeah, it'd be good to get some idea of the statistics.
Think we're getting that much? So much we should really track it, kind of thing?
No, not that we should. Okay. I'm just mentioning it.
We get interesting numbers out of it?
I was looking at my log. I was surprised. So.
Yeah, I expect a lot of them are just like aggregators. Like iTunes probably grabs it once a week, and
I don't think they grab the MP3.
They might grab a little piece of it. Oh, hey, and that's the other thing. So something that does streaming might request it one piece at a time.
Yeah,
and I don't think the common log format actually has the. It has the number of bytes transferred, I think. I'm not actually sure there's enough information in that log format to say that, you know, here's 58 requests, one per minute from the same IP address that together make up this entire file.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I've never really... I haven't looked at the common log format for a very long time.
That's like... So... Did that start with Apache, or was it another web server? And
I think
Apache
it was NCSA.
It? Yeah,
HTTPD.
It's a crap log format.
It's from the 90s.
Yeah,
maybe the 80s. It could very well be from the 80s.
Yeah.
And
there's no better log format. Nobody's invented something better since then.
Of course, everybody has invented something better. That's the problem.
Okay. There's no one consensus on what
right.
be better.
Yeah, there's no one better log format. There's a billion better log formats. Every now and again, I contemplate, you know, switching to a log format that doesn't have a special field for the ident reply. But I never really find something that I particularly like so much that I'm willing to do the work to support it.
Well, Webalizer is cool because it shows you like how many of your hits, you know, come from search engine results versus specific referrers and, you know, all the different kinds of regions and browsers or,
yeah, and it's probably cooler with more information, to be honest. I mean, I assume it supports extended Apache formats or something, although there's not a bunch of standard ones.
There's there's like three different formats, and I do have it set for CFL right now.
CLF, maybe.
CLF, yeah.
CFL is not the Canadian Football League. Of course. Go Riders.
So I saw Pixels.
Yeah. What'd you think?
I liked it.
I liked it a lot more than I expected. I went into it expecting to hate it. So I think that also made me enjoy it more than I expected to.
When I saw the preview, I was like, oh, this is going to be either really dumb and just ruin this, or it's going to be really cool.
And I never even had that second option go through my mind. I was like, this is going to be really dumb.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, I didn't think the preview was very good, but the effects were good. I mean, you could tell.
Now you understand why I told you. This is one I'd like to watch in 3D.
Yeah.
If I see the 3D Blu-ray available, I'll totally pick that up. And I'll dig my glasses out of the drawer in order to watch it in 3D. Because I think it'll be worth it. Especially that Donkey Kong scene.
Yeah, it was cool. Now, there were a number of inaccuracies which...
Now, are we gonna do spoilers here? Should we warn people that we're going to do spoilers?
Sure. So, I mean, I don't care. The plot of the movie.
It's a pretty simple plot. Yeah. I mean, you can't really...
The first scene, you know, when they're dueling out Adam Sandler's character as a kid versus... What's his name? The guy from...
Fireball? Firebolt?
Fire. Yeah, it was fire.
Tyrion
something.
Lannister?
Yeah, him.
Is that exactly who you're thinking of?
Tyrion Lannister. Oh, so they're trying to think of the actor's name is Peter, right? Peter...
Oh, yeah. Dinklage. Peter Dink something.
Dinklage, I think.
It definitely starts with a dink.
Yeah.
Just like his life did.
But, the character... that plays him as a kid is not the actor is not the same actor. They have a different small person. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and they're playing Donkey Kong as like, you know, the end of that competition or whatever, and he dies. One of them loses because Donkey Kong falls on his head because the gorilla falls on his head.
Yeah.
That's not how you die. That's how you win.
Well, you know, there's not only that. There's also the mention of cheat codes for Pac-Man.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's a glitch, which is interesting, but it can't actually be used for what they used it for. And
you're talking about the screen glitch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, there's ways to get infinite lives. I remember that.
Right. There's no magic thing to warp.
Do what he did. Yeah, there's no fast movement or anything like that. You know, so I mean, they did spend some time referencing it, and they clearly had a consultant for some parts. And then other parts, they clearly ignored what their consultant said.
Yeah.
Or, you know, stopped consulting him. You know, they consulted him during this part of the production, but not this other part. So, I mean, there's definitely issues with it if you examine it too closely.
If you've ever played these games and you remember anything about them, then you'll notice certain things.
Right.
But it doesn't ruin.
There were definitely some centipede issues.
Yeah.
You know, that one girl who was no longer comprised of pixels for no apparent reason, except she's sexier that way.
Was that a real movie? Or, I mean, a real video game?
I don't know. I didn't recognize
her at all. I was like, what game was that?
Well, and it would have had to be from before 82 as well. You know, So it seems like a lot of colors for pre-1982.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then she... Well, whatever. That's probably enough on the movie topic.
Yeah, I was actually surprised... I was actually surprised that Joust was out before 82. That one surprised me because it's got pretty good graphics. And I don't remember
Joust being in the movie though.
Yeah, it was. The ostriches or whatever and the birds that they fight were totally in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Because during a few parts of the movie,
there's like a lot of stuff.
My wife asked me to identify the video games that all the characters came from, and I specifically remember having an issue with Joust. And that giant robot, I don't know what video game that was from. Do you know?
Oh, not the robot, but he's talking about the spaceship?
No, the robot. There was a big, like, orange robot that was walking around all the time.
No, that I don't know. The spaceship I didn't immediately recognize, and then I was like, oh yeah, that's from Galaga.
Yeah, it's I'm the surprised blue one you that, didn't. Yeah. You liked Galaga more than I did, so I'm surprised you didn't.
Well, I recognized it, but I didn't know which game it was. You know what I mean? I was like, I recognized that spaceship, but it wasn't moving like it does in Galaga, and it didn't shoot down the beam to capture a thing. And, you know.
Yeah. So. Wow, it's really raining here now.
Oh, cool.
Here in Southern California.
Oh,
you can stop sending water bottles now.
Hopefully it'll rain here too.
Yeah.
I live far enough away that it doesn't always rain
that
here.
We're experiencing different weather.
Yep. And I've had my rain off since, or my rain.
I switched the rain off, rain off. I forgot to turn it back on. Yeah. And now my lawn is dying.
My homemade rain is rain machine. My sprinklers have been off since, I think I turned them off right before Halloween. So we didn't ruin all the decorations, but
yeah, I've had mine off for even longer. I've had mine off ever since the government agreed to pay me $2 a square foot to rip my lawn up.
What are you going to replace it with?
Stuff that doesn't die.
Yeah, but if you picked stuff specific, I mean, do you know what?
Oh, that's not my problem. My wife knows, and the contractor who's doing it knows.
Oh,
but. Yeah, I really don't care. The whole idea of a yard to me, coming from a place where it rains fairly often, is it's a place where things just grow and sometimes you have to cut them.
Yeah.
You know, trees, grass, dandelions, all that stuff is what you normally grow. And the sprinkler is what you pull out so that the kids can run through it. It's not actually an important part of lawn maintenance. Because, yeah, anytime it doesn't rain for long enough, you're not allowed to water your lawns anyway. So, yeah, it's very different here.
Well, we've been looking for something to replace at least part of our grass with. The artificial lawns, I think, look dumb.
They actually look pretty good. There's a couple places here that have them, and they look pretty good.
Well, there's a guy who actually lives down the street. Not on my street, but, you know, around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he installs them or owns the company that installs them or whatever. So his house is kind of like an advertisement for them, you know. And it's supposed to be, you know, I mean, obviously he would have like the best stuff and it'd be the most well-maintained.
I would think so, yeah.
And I don't think it looks that good, you know. And I've been over there and I've seen like, you know, I don't know, trick-or-treating or whatever, but seen like wrinkles under it and, you know,
maybe,
where it's
maybe
it's
he
obvious.
Just sucks at his job because, yeah, the ones around
these are
here,
big yards.
They look,
it's hard
they look
to
good.
Do. And we have a lot of gophers and,
yeah,
I don't know.
Well, the ones around here look good, and we considered it. The biggest issue there is that it's actually about the same price as having grass and watering it all the time. And I don't like pouring money on my yard.
Well, me neither, but it's supposed to be a one-time fee. Like, you pay all this money to have the fake lawn put
in,
and then you don't water it.
And then the warranty is 5 to 10 years.
Oh.
Which means they expect it to fail in 10 to 15 years. You know.
Yeah.
It's
expensive.
Or fade or whatever, or you have to replace the little rubber things that keep the grass stuff sticking up. And then, so that's the front yard. In the backyard, the reason I didn't want it is because it gets hot. In the sun. And you have to run your sprinklers to cool it down. So, I mean...
defeating the purpose.
Yeah, that's kind of dumb.
Well, we've been looking at other ground cover, you know, natural stuff that's doesn't require as much water, but is still so pretty soft to the touch that you can run through it with your bare feet, and it doesn't...
Yeah, I would be fine with gravel in my front yard, to be honest. It's my wife that wants something nice.
Yeah, I don't want gravel.
Yeah, it would keep people off my lawn.
Yeah.
You know, if my lawn was made out of sharp things, people would stop walking their dog on it.
Yep, including you.
Yeah. I usually walk my dog on the sidewalk in the driveway.
Well, we use our yard. I mean, we like to be able to play ball in it. And
well, you're talking about your backyard. I'm talking about my front yard.
Well, you do both.
Well, you don't use your front yard.
We don't use all of it. We definitely, there's big sections of it that could be rock and it wouldn't make any difference.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about is the front yard. Our backyard, that pretty much has to stay grass. We don't really have options there. You know, well, clover, we're looking into clover. Because that's nice to walk on. It's not bad. It takes less water.
Yeah.
So, I mean, or whatever that's called. I think it's clover.
Yeah, there's different like clover. Succulents. It's,
yeah.
Absorb and retain a lot of water. And, you know, you can water them with, like, drip rather than spray.
That doesn't make sense to me. How can you do that? Like, they just have a single root in one place and then they cover the whole yard?
I don't know. Maybe the roots are just really long or something. I don't know.
Because drip just puts water right where the roots are. And for ground cover, the roots are going to be everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so you just dripping it everywhere?
It can't be possibly everywhere. Yeah. But the problem with the sprayers is that's just a really inefficient way to water because a lot of it evaporates, especially when there's any kind of wind. A lot of it sits on top and evaporates.
Well, if it sits on top, you've overwatered.
No, I don't mean like a puddle.
Really?
I mean like little water droplets sitting on the leaves or whatever.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it also washes the dust off, which is really good for stuff.
Yeah.
You know, anyway, it hasn't evolved for that.
They have rations here, rationing, and apparently, you know, our city, we failed to meet our rationing reduction. You know, there's penalties if you water more. If you water more than 50% of what you watered a year ago, and some people are like, well, I didn't water anything a year ago, so how can I, you know... go down from there. But I think it's
you
just
can't.
All
the problem threats. Is only if you go up.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
don't water anything this year and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. So good. Well, I can't see outside from where I'm sitting, so and I can't see my weather station. Actually
it's almost finished stopped raining now. Now it's just drizzling a light drizzle now, so
actually I can go to norcohills.info and then weather. And it says 0.00 rain, inches of rain.
Well, it's good you got that extra decimal place.
Yes.
I was wondering.
No rain here.
Or you can go to vert.synchro.net and it'll also tell you there's
yeah, no. I need to get rid of that thing. It looks like crap.
It was last updated 0 seconds ago and it looks dark there.
Well, and the Weather Underground changed the format or something of that little Flash applet thing.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look right.
It does not. Yeah. It looks pretty bad.
I saw another movie that I wanted to recommend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a drummer, of course, and I
of course.
Subscribed to Modern Drummer magazine, and I was... reading it as I do, and it talked about this documentary that's come out about Quiet Riot, the rock band Quiet Riot, which I was never a fan of Quiet Riot. It really, a lot of those bands like Twisted Sister and all that kind of hair, dumb rock, I felt was insulting my intelligence.
You didn't like Come On, Feel the Noise?
I didn't like any of that stuff, but yeah, especially not Come On, Feel the Noise with a Z.
Noisy Z.
Yeah. And I only vaguely knew like the singer had died and I thought he like died of like a heart attack or something. And I was kind of, you know, I just didn't really know what had happened. Well, and this kind of alluded to that, you know, that this was the drummer trying to continue on with the band after
he died?
After the singer had died.
Oh, because so I thought you said the drummer had died.
No, the singer had died. Maybe I did say that night.
He's going to have some serious problems continuing on with the band.
Yeah, the drummer's alive. Anyway, it's really good. And it has some very Spinal Tap moments, but they're all, you know, reality, right?
Well, fake reality.
No, this is real. Spinal Tap was fake real.
Is it real or is it actors?
Real. It's real. No actors.
So the documentary is okay.
Yeah, it's real. They're all real people. It has lots of interviews, even with the guy that died, because they were,
right,
you know, recorded before he died. Yeah, one of my favorites is the bass player who's in the band now played on that first hits album, but he only played on like two songs. But he played on Metal Health. And, you know, that was one of their first big hits. And I didn't realize this, but apparently they were one of the first, or maybe the first, sort of heavy metal band to get like a major label deal. Like breakthrough.
I'm pretty sure they're the first to hit like the top 100 or whatever.
Yeah, they're top one. Like they beat like Michael Jackson or something, like, you know, in the Billboard charts.
Billboard magazine. Is that still around?
I don't know. I think there's still a chart, though, called Billboard.
I'm sure the chart's still around, but yeah.
But, you know, I never respected him or anything, but still, it was a good thing to watch. I'm always interested in these sort of, you know, where are they now? You know, what it's like to really have been a rocker, and then what, you know, how's their life now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are they comfortably wealthy, or are they struggling?
Are any of the members original members?
No. The drummer is like the second drummer, so I guess he's not really technically the original drummer, but he's close enough, I think, that it kind
of
counts.
Yeah,
but
so it's one of those ones that have recycled.
Oh, yeah. Well, the bass player, that was funny, is the bass player, they've had like this, they've kind of gone through like, well, I don't know, maybe like 20 different bass players, but two of them have been Rudy Sarzo, who, if you don't know his name, he's a pretty popular, famous bass player. He's played with Ozzy and a lot of other, like Whitesnake and, you know, bands like that. I think he's in Queens right now. Anyway, and then this other bass player, Chuck Wright, who played on that first album, or at least he played on like two songs on that first album. But the picture on the back of the album and the name for most of the credits is Rudy Sarzo. So they're at this, they're playing some kind of small metal gig or whatever. And there's like, you know, people in line getting autographs signed by the band or whatever. And getting like albums and, you know, their shirts or whatever. Anyway, and a guy has a CD and he has the drummer sign it. And then the bass player says, oh, do you want me to sign it? And he goes, well, he's looking at it because the picture is Rudy Sarzo. And the guy asking, is this guy Chuck Wright? Yeah. And he goes, I'm on it. He goes, yeah, but that's not your picture. He goes, oh, no, I'll show you. And opens it up, and he's looking for his name, and he's like, oh, I guess this is a reissue. He's all in the guy, you know, is like trying to grab it from him, you know, so he won't sign it. And he's like, no, I swear I'm on this. And he's like, no, sorry, you're not on it. And then he gets all offended, and, you know, at the fan, you know, he's like, you know, check your facts, dude.
Funny. Yeah, I just realized. So speaking of bands that have recycled a lot, I was thinking of Trooper, which is a Canadian band, and you know, they similar story. They had a bunch of hits in the 70s and 80s, and you know, kind of tapered off into you know, touring after that, and you cycled through a lot of members, and I was just looking at their Wikipedia page, and some of the members that I've actually known aren't even listed. There's a list of, you know, like the 30 members that have ever been in there, and I know it's incomplete.
Wow. 11, it's 12, not 30. 13. 30 wasn't enough to cover it. They ran out of room on the page.
23 are listed. Yeah.
Well, Quiet Riot, and there's a funny segment in the movie where they go through all the history of all the different, you know, performers and people. And it's, you know, it's, they do it well. It's well produced. The movie's well produced. And apparently it was done by the drummer's girlfriend. She did a really good job.
The current drummer's girlfriend.
Right. But when I hear The Trooper, you mentioned The Trooper, I think of this. Let me tell you if this rings a bell.
Oh, that's Iron Maiden.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, no. That's not what I'm talking about.
If you go on to
YouTube and look up Raise a Little Hell and play that.
Okay, hold on.
You'll take my life, but I'll take yours too. You fire musket, but I'll run you through.
So are we going to listen to this whole song?
No, just that.
That's
part.
Good because we could get sued for that. So, yeah.
There you go.
Because, you know, we're on iTunes now, so somebody, I'm sure there's a company out there that downloads every podcast and scans it for copyright material.
Yeah, but I think this, like, you have to have more than 30 seconds or something.
I don't know.
Raising Hell? Is that what you
Raise
said?
A Little Hell.
Raise a Little Hell.
Yeah. And just for the record, at the time, this was considered hard rock. Just as a little bit of a
interesting tidbit. I gotta have to open this another browser anyway.
Oh, because that browser doesn't work?
Doesn't play through the same
default
sound
audio
device?
Yeah, oh, that's interesting.
It won't come through the audio interface here. And then we have to skip the ad. That's not the song, I assume.
No. I was like, what are you playing?
It's an ad.
Yeah, that was considered hard rock at the time.
It reminds me of some stuff that my mom listened to.
Well, this has got to be, 78, that's true. So.
Why don't you change it? If your world is all screwed up, rearrange it.
All right. I think I've heard it before, too. Maybe you've had me listen to that before.
Perhaps. But, Yeah, they were always fun guys, though. Every time they came through, I always tried to have a few drinks with them, so... They're pretty good guys.
Well, I had this dream of being a rock star.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Do we have any Freudian... Is dream analysis Freudian?
Well, I don't mean that kind of dream. I mean like a goal. You know what I mean? Like a childhood. I think dream is the right word. But it was
an aspiration.
Know, the, yeah,
or it didn't quite reach aspiration.
I aspired. I tried.
All right. Yeah.
It's clearly not. In the cards for me. So
it's a bit late now to really get back into that.
Yeah, you know, when I first started having kids, I thought, you know, that wouldn't change anything. But once once they start growing up, and
you know, I've never understood people who can actually think that.
For some people, it doesn't. Some people continue on and they'll go on tours, and
it still changes things.
Well,
I mean,
it may
the only people it doesn't change things for, right, that's a change, but the only people it doesn't change things for are people who don't care about their kids.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And surely you knew you would care about your kids, so, you know.
Yeah, but I wasn't, like, having offers to go on tour immediately anyway.
Right.
I wasn't really pursuing that. Like, you know, when I did try out for bands and they were like, oh, yeah, there's a good chance we go on tour, it didn't sound good to me. You know what I mean? I wasn't like, you know, oh yeah, let's go sleep in a van or on somebody's floor and, you know, barely make enough money to buy food.
Well,
it didn't sound fun.
See, I guess that's something that's nice about being a, you know, a C-list band in Canada, in at least in Western Canada, is your tour. You basically, you go to hotel bars.
Yeah.
And they have hotel rooms where the band stays.
Oh.
It's, you know, part of the booking is a hotel room. So you don't have to sleep in your bus or whatever you have.
It still doesn't sound that good.
You know, really? I mean, going to bars all over?
A different hotel room every night.
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't have your computer and your stuff.
Oh, I remember when I fixed Valdi's computer.
So is he a member of the Trooper?
No. He's a folk singer, I suppose. I guess that's the closest. I mean, yeah, he's a folk singer. You know, it's him and a guitar, and half the time he's telling stories, and the other half he's playing music. Valdy, for those who are actually interested. I like his stuff. I have a few of his albums, and, you know, I'll listen to it every now and again, but they're a very different style. But anyway, I was working at a computer store at the time, and he phoned up and was like, you know, I've got this Apple notebook, and, you know, it's not charging, it's not working, you know, can you fix it? And we're like, well, we don't really work on Apples. You really want to call this other store? And he said, I called them, and they said they can't fix it, and, you know, it's going to be like a week to be repaired. And
you want to go to the Apple store? I mean, that's what you paid for.
This is way pre-Apple store. This was...
Well, they still had some kind of...
Apple didn't have a retail. No, they had a vendor network, just like Compaq.
Okay.
You know, so basically you would become an Apple vendor and get certified, and you take the training and everything. They didn't run any retail stuff themselves at the time. This was like the OS... OS 8 was just getting stable... kind of time. Anyway, so I was like, well, I'll come and take a look, but no guarantees, you know. And, you know, I went, and, it was a standard problem. The power connector had broken off of the motherboard, so, you know, I resoldered it and put some hot glue on to hold it in place. And I'm like, you know, this will work, probably work for, it seems to be working, it'll probably work for a while, and, you know, you really should get it replaced, but, you know, this will work for all. And he's so thank you. You know, he tried tipping me. I'm like, no, I can't really take tips. He's like, well, oh, here, I'll give you a bunch of albums. And he grabs a bunch of albums and he signs them all to Steven. Thanks for saving my butt and everything. Because, you know, it was like
that.
This is
when you worked at Geek Squad?
No. This might actually be pre-Geek Squad, to be honest. It was. I worked at Custom Microsystems Incorporated in Yorkton, Saskatchewan. But
don't
try
to look them up now. They're not there.
they're still there, but I think now they sell like satellite internet installs and stuff. But,
it's called the Electric Banana.
But anyway, so he's like autographing these albums, and I didn't even really know who he was. Like, I'd heard some of his songs, and I recognized some of his songs when I listened to him, but I didn't know who he was. And yeah, so that was pretty cool. And then I went and actually saw his show, and I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. This story really kind of tapers out. But speaking of not having computers in hotel rooms, I mean, even in the mid-90s, you know, people already had computers in their hotel rooms. So,
and they had no internet access.
He had internet access. There was a built-in modem. That was the best internet there was. What do you mean crappy internet? Oh, you mean access to the crappy internet? Well, that was just, you know, how the internet was at the time.
Well, even then, I had either ISDN or a cable modem.
A cable modem in like 95, 96?
Yeah. I was like one of the first users at home. Comcast at home. I was one of the first customers.
Hmm. Interesting.
It was 640 kilobit.
Wow.
Yeah. That was way fast.
It sounds fast, yeah.
Yeah. Later they capped it, you know, like a year or two later when there were too many customers and I don't know, they wanted to expand and they decided they couldn't make a profit at 640 kilobit, so they capped everybody to 128. I think the upstream was capped at 128.
Hmm.
I was like, man.
Yeah, I never had cable internet for various reasons. But I did have DSL at that time, and I was the first DSL install in Yorkton outside of SaskTel employees.
You have cable internet now.
I do now, yeah. Finally. Well, I mean, when I got the DSL was actually faster.
I've gone back and forth.
The cable that was available.
Yeah. It depends on where you live and the providers.
Well, not so much anymore. Now, you know, DOCSIS is just so much better than the one that escapes me that ADSL uses.
Right, but there's also Fios and these other.
But those aren't DSL.
No, but they're still competitors to cable.
Right, and I would totally jump all over fiber as soon as it was available.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't stop me.
Fiber bars.
Just jump right on that fiber bar. Make it chocolate dipped, you know? And but, yeah, nobody wants to run fiber to my house. Even if I pay to run the fiber, still nobody wants to run fiber to my house.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. But, yeah. So that's that then. So.
I bought a Action Cam. I think I brought
it. Is that a brand name or is that
Mobius is actually I bought this a couple years ago. It's kind of a do-it-yourself or it's not really do-it-yourself. It's more like, how to explain it? Anyway, it's not a major brand. But you can find them. They're like made in China, but they're readily available through a lot of means like eBay. And
your background noise is coming up a bit.
Oh, maybe I'm just getting too far away from the mic.
Maybe. Oh. I don't know. Just thought I'd mention it. Anyway, carry on. They're kind of an off brand.
Right. And it's Mobius is the brand name. And so it's a Mobius Action Cam. Anyway, I think I originally bought it for the quadcopter. And then I experienced a lot of that jello effect, you know, because of the vibration.
Yep.
And I thought, well, I'll try this as a dash cam because it seems be a popular.
Now I know where you're going with this.
Dash cam. Yeah. So I put it in my dash and, you know, I even made a little highlight video of assholes in California. Not that, you know, the driving is that much worse than anywhere else, but, you know, I do see a lot of traffic and cars and. Anyway, that camera lasted for probably a good year, and then something happened to it. It stopped turning on most of the time, and I think it's a well-known problem, but, you know, it's like I need to replace a component on the little PCB or just the whole camera. But anyway, I bought my wife one.
The first W?
Right, that first W.
Yeah. Okay.
I bought her one for Christmas. And she was like, oh, you know, all offended because it was like I was spying on her. You know what I mean? She didn't want, you know, her privacy invaded. Well, now that we have our kids, we have three girls and they're in three different schools. And especially like, you know, the bigger they are, the bigger the schools. Like high school is crazy, right? There's thousands of kids. And, you know,
the bigger the kids are.
Right.
Okay.
The bigger the kids are, the bigger the schools they go to because there's fewer of them, right? It's fewer high schools than there are like elementary schools.
And they take up more space, so it seems more crowded.
Yeah. I mean, the traffic is just nuts. And she is, you know, I mean, I only take them like one, maybe 2 days a week. She takes them all the rest of the time. It's three different schools at three different times. And in the morning, especially, I think picking them up is not as bad. But in the morning, and I've experienced this when I take them, people just drive like assholes. I mean, they are all in a rush and stressed out, and it's just totally different than, like, you know, when I go to work later or when I come home at night. You know, there still might be traffic and everybody wants to get home, but it's not like, you know, they're panicked and just being, you know, the biggest possible jerk they can be. So, you know, she's had, like, you know, incidents of road rage and a couple fender benders, and now she's like, you know, I need a dash cam. I'm like, well, I bought you that one, you know. Anyway, so I happened to see one at Costco. It was a Cobra. You know, they make those
CB radios.
I think it's the same company, but they also make like Fuzzbusters or whatever, you know.
Everything a trucker needs. That's kind of Cobra's thing.
Yeah. Now I looked at it and I'm like, I'm sure it's not as good as the Mobius, but it has built-in GPS, so it keeps track of where you are, and then when you can reconstruct the speed as well. Mm-hmm. When you play back the video or whatever, and also if you have an excessive shock to the camera, like you get in an accident, it automatically locks that video segment, so it won't be deleted.
Right.
Because mm-hmm. normally it overwrites the old stuff, you know, when the
right and SD there must be like full. A button to also lock.
Exactly. There's also a button you can hit to you know save that. You know, mm-hmm. you saw something interesting or whatever, and you hit the button. Anyway, so I got a, you know, that it was worth it. It's Costco, you know, you can always take it back if it sucks. And the video quality is not that great. And the Mobius is definitely better in that regard. But that whole feature of, you know, being able to play it back with their little player, and it shows you a map view, and you see your car, and you see your speed, and it's all synchronized, you know, it's pretty cool. So I think I'm going to do a combination of the two. She's going to have like two cameras, you know.
Anyway. You do a rear-facing camera and a front-facing camera?
Well, maybe, or just two, or just, you know, split the front window, you know, so you get more of the side. Because in one of her accidents, she was sideswiped by the lady, who then tried to claim to the insurance company that my wife hit her from behind. And she and
see, if she just left the from behind part out, that probably would have been believable based on the damage.
Right. Yeah, only, you know, my wife was in the far left lane and she hit my wife on the right side of the car. So it's kind of hard to come up with a theory.
Only if you can prove you're in the far right lane or the far left lane. Yeah. Right. All you say is I was beside her and she ran into me.
Yeah. Apparently that's not what she said. And my wife had taken a picture of the back of that lady's car to get her license plate. So we did have proof that, you know, there was no damage to the back of her car. There's no way for
fancy.
My, you know,
yeah.
But having video would be much better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's had, like, you know, these road rage incidents as well.
So what you're saying is she pisses off other drivers.
Well, I mean, I've had road rage incidents, you know, as well. I don't drive, like I said, as much in the morning with all these crazy people, you know, around the schools. Because, I mean, the traffic is nuts. It's total gridlock. You know, people are getting jammed in the middle of the intersection. Other people having to drive around. Everybody's honking. And, you know, everybody's pissed off at each other.
Well, that's normal here. And that's one of those things that is very different in your culture than mine, is the driving your kids to school every day thing.
Well, they don't have bus service everywhere. The alternative is to make them walk.
Or ride their bike.
Yeah. This school is further than, you know, mine was when I was growing up, but, you know,
It's within bicycle range.
Well, the fear machine is so instilled in us now, you know, everybody's
afraid. Yeah, that's another part of it is people are scared anytime their kids are out of their sight. And that's again, a different thing. I mean, and I double checked, you know, it wasn't just, you know, things were simpler when I was a kid, when I was back in Canada recently. You know, people sent their kids. Their kids are being loud and noisy. They say, go outside and play. And they kick them out of the house and say, you know, come back when it gets dark. And that's the end of that. You know?
Yeah.
You're being really annoying. Go away and have fun.
When you have to come back.
Yeah. So, you know, I doubted enough that maybe it was just, you know, I was younger, things were different, things have changed. But no, it is a cultural thing. Maybe it's new here, but it hasn't reached small town Saskatchewan yet.
Anyway, I'm lucky I don't have to deal with that insanity every day. You know, and I go into work later, come home later, so I avoid most of that traffic stuff. But, you know, it's a new thing. I mean, I can't imagine like living like right next to a school, you know, and having to be able to leave the house or, you know, come back during those times when all those crazy parents are there.
Yeah. I live a few blocks from a school and you just don't drive down that road at certain times of the day.
Yeah.
You know, it is crazy. And it's just crazy to do that. I mean, I can understand giving them a ride most of the way to school. But why not drop them off two blocks away? You know, why drive all the way up to the school?
I think it's the same thing.
Subject yourself to that.
the fear that they're not going to make it that
but
two
there's
blocks,
crossing you know? Guards and stuff. I mean, there are people who are there yeah. specifically for adult supervision.
I don't know that a crossing guard would or could stop a kid from being abducted.
They'd at least witness it. I mean, kids yeah. don't get abducted anyway, so I mean, it's really not a
they
problem.
They do, but
no, yeah. they literally don't. If you look at the statistics, the it's odds rare. Of your kid yeah. getting abducted when you drop them off for school are zero.
It's not zero, but it's rare.
It's literally zero.
No, it's not zero.
It's zero. I personally guarantee that if you dropped your kids off two blocks from school every single day for a million years, they would never be abducted. Your kids.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that you have yeah. that confidence level.
Yeah. And if you looked up the odds.
Yeah.
The first three digits at least would be zeros.
Yeah.
Right? It would be 0.00.
Probably.
No matter how they were expressed, even if they were expressed, you know, incidents per 100,000 people. Or whatever, it would still be zero. So,
and what yeah. was that girl? I ended up reading the book. She was abducted when she was like, I want to say like 12. I think she was like 12, and then when she was like in her 20s, she ended up being, you know, discovered and rescued. But she had already had like two kids with her abductor, and you know, it was a whole disgusting thing. Kind of trying to remember her name. Dugard. Something Dugard.
Okay.
Anyway, it's a horrible story, you know, and it really happened. You know, she's waiting for a bus, mm-hmm. you know, school bus. And it was in California.
And it was some time ago or it was recent?
Well, it was in the past, you know, 20 years.
Yeah, because those statistics have been dropping a lot.
Like Kathy Lee Dugard, I think, was her name. Something like that.
Kathy with a K?
I think so, yeah. Something. Anyway, it's a very sad story. Very, very bad, you know, sad book. Hard to read. But true, you know, it's and it does happen. And yes, it's very rare. But, you know, as a parent, oh, can't imagine. You know, and they, of course, thought she was dead and, you know.
Right, I mean,
she like lived in the backyard and in tents and then had to raise these two girls and, you know, gave birth to them in the backyard and all this.
Oh yeah. I remember hearing about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a culture of fear and that's fine. I mean, whatever, you know, I'm not going to judge
yeah.
your culture, you know,
well,
I'm not going to say you're wrong.
If there were fewer people, it wouldn't be as big of an issue, you know, it's nice to be dropped off.
Like if you had fewer kids or?
No, I mean, just fewer people in the area, fewer cars, less traffic. You know what I mean? There's too many people, too many kids, you know, there's a lot of construction going on around here. They're widening these freeways and they have to like, raise the overpasses and lower the streets going underneath and, you know, building these giant overpasses for toll lanes and stuff. It's crazy. The amount of construction going on around here, you know, and it's going on for years. It's, you know, won't be done for like another year and a half. And it all just makes it crazy, you know, so, and you don't realize it because it's so, I want to say like episodic, like it just happens, you know, during that time when school's starting, like you don't realize, like, I don't know whether that half an hour or whatever around the time that school starts, there's all this insanity and then it just kind of goes back to normal, whatever the normal daily commute traffic is like, you know.
Yeah.
But then during that period, it's like nothing works. None of the streetlights work right. You know, I mean, they're working. They're trying to. But there's just too many cars.
What? I don't even know what that means. The streetlights are trying to work and failing?
Well, they'll turn green, but nobody can go through it. Because
gridlock. Yeah, that's not the light's fault.
Well, I know. I know. That's what I mean is you're sitting there. You're like, the light's green and, you know, and nobody can move. And then it goes red and you're like, damn. And then it goes green again. And you're like, oh, good. I got to go. Nope. Sitting still, you know.
Yep. And then I think the easiest solution for that, honestly, is to have a couple cops on foot handing out tickets at school on a regular basis.
That isn't the fault. It isn't like people are just breaking the law left and right and that's the cause of it. It's just
I'm not saying that's the cause of it.
Cars.
I'm saying that if dropping your kids off at the school resulted in $1,500 in fines every year, people would change their habits. They'd drop them off earlier. They would drop them off a couple blocks away. They would change their habits. You know, they make the roads bigger. I don't know, but it would force change, you know, because there are so many violations in those times. You know, people stopping in no stopping zones, people parking in no parking zones, you know, people changing lanes illegally, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you could totally incentivize a fix by and get some money for your sheriff's department or whoever is handing out tickets.
Yeah, but if it's too much, I mean, you know, the people rebel and change
what?
City council members or whatever they need to do to, you know,
to change the laws.
Normal.
I mean, it's the law. They want their police to not enforce the law. Everybody would love that until they got the ticket, right? There would be nothing more satisfying to a parent than the person who's in their way when they're trying to drop their kids off getting a ticket right then.
No, because that would make it worse. When the cop pulls someone over, they're blocking traffic. You know,
I'm not saying pull them over. I'm saying two cops on foot with a ticket book.
Yeah.
Just walking along, writing up citations, putting them under the windshield.
I don't think that
and
fixes
waving.
Anything. I don't think it fixes anything.
I bet you it would. If they kept that up for a year, it would totally cause a change.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's just too many cars, too many people.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. It would change. It would
make
change the number of charges. No, it would make people drop their kids off further away, or drop them off earlier, or whatever. The people would change because they didn't want tickets.
Yeah, or just change who the sheriff is, or
electing sheriffs is something that blows my mind, but another cultural thing.
Oh, you don't have elected sheriffs where you come from?
No, and the sheriffs don't enforce much of the laws either. I mean, I think they do evictions and repossessions and stuff. Like, I didn't even know there were sheriffs until
Saskatchewan!
Until I was like 20, 25. I didn't know there were sheriffs.
Wow. But you'd seen them on TV.
Yeah, I thought they were an American thing.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, there's like a federal sheriff's department in Canada. There's like the sheriff's office, I believe, is a Court of Queen's Bench thing.
Well, and they police the areas that are not like in normal towns or cities.
Yeah, and in Canada, we have the RCMP for that.
Oh.
RCMP are kind of like the FBI.
Oh. Well,
you know, they're a federal police force, and they do the law enforcement where there's no local police.
So what's the sheriff do? Oh, just the other things you mentioned.
Yeah, they do things the court tells them to do, right? They do summons for juries, you know, guard duty for the juries, stuff like that. Evictions, you know, they enforce civil court orders, that kind of stuff. They're basically an arm of the court. They're not a law enforcement thing. They're like the civil law police. So it's quite different to what a sheriff is here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they're not elected. I've never voted for a sheriff, so. But I don't know. Yeah, no, there was a couple times I lived in a place with a court. So if sheriffs were elected, we would have elected them. But
well, I was talking about the dash cams.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had the one in my car, it worked pretty well because it was, it's plugged into the cigarette lighter, you know, 12-volt accessory supply. And when you turn the car on, it would automatically supply power to the camera. Camera starts recording automatically. And then when you turn the car off, the power stops going to the camera, so it turns itself off and it stops recording. Unfortunately, in my wife's car, which is a Chevy, it always has power to the accessories, the accessory plugs, even when there's no key in the car.
It always has power to all of the accessory plugs or just some of them?
All of them. Huh. There's four of them. I tested them. They all have power.
Well, my wife's BMW is like that, and leaving her GPS plugged in for a couple months actually killed her battery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was looking up mods, you know, ways to put a relay in line and control that power. It looks like it's not quite so simple.
Well, it'd be easier to just run a switched line to your camera.
You mean like up under the dash?
Yeah, just a dedicated power cord that's put in running off of a switched accessory switch that's already wired in and just tying it into the fuse box or the harness there.
Yeah, I'm not too good at pulling out dashes and putting everything back perfectly. It's a pretty big project. I might take it to a stereo shop or something.
Yeah. Yeah, they'd be the guys to have do it.
Yeah, or just get the accessory plug to work that way. It'd be nice. Because then, you know, I can plug in more than one camera or, you know, whatever. Anything USB powered.
Yeah.
But I'm not really... I kind of assumed there'd be, like, maybe some way to control that. Like, you know, whether it's in the electronics, because it kind of has an onboard computer. You know, it's a newer car. Or maybe some kind of switch or something somewhere. But it seems like that'd be a common problem. You know, you leave GPS or Bluetooth receiver or transmitter or any of that kind of stuff plugged in, it's going to drain your battery.
But it's also irritating to not be able to use it without turning the car on. You know, I can see both sides.
That's why you might want to have control over it. You know, a switch or something so you know, you can make it behave how best suits you.
I'm pretty sure my car has both. There's one that's actually a cigar lighter in the ashtray, and it's on all the time. And then there's one inside the console that is switched with the ignition.
Yeah, and that's great. That'd be fine if I had that. But, you know, in her car, they're all powered all the time, so it's kind of annoying. So, as it is now, it'll just keep recording unless you remember to turn it off.
Well, you know what you could do? Is actually have it turn on and off based on the voltage.
Well, it's not a feature of the camera, so I'd have to put
something in line. No, I mean, you could build a little box that plugs into the power port that turns itself off when the voltage is below 12 volts or 12.4 volts or whatever. That actually be pretty simple to make.
So when the car's off, it would be below 12, and when the car's running, it's coming off the alternator, so it's like 13.
Right, it's going to be over 13.
Yeah.
Right? Like 13.4 is nominal kind of thing. I bet you there's USB car plugs that do that. I mean, it's so trivial and cheap to build that circuit.
It seems like a common problem. Like, I don't know. I did some searching tonight. I didn't find anything obvious other than, you know, some different do-it-yourself projects.
Yeah.
Inserting a relay.
So if that doesn't actually work, it would. I wonder if I could get rich selling that stupid thing. Because, I mean, it's a simple thing.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you could get rich, but at least you could.
Right. I mean, would you spend $15 for a USB power plug that turns itself off when the car's off?
Yep.
Yeah, and it would cost like 50 cents to make it. So I mean,
the problem is you'd design it. You'd like go through the cost of that first run of fabrication.
I would patent it.
And then a month later, podcast, the Chinese are producing
this
it.
This podcast serves as first invention, you know, right now.
Good luck enforcing that in China.
I don't need to enforce it in China. I want to sell it to Americans.
Okay. They can buy from the Chinese.
And I can have them not allowed in the country. Yeah. You know, that's what your customs are for. That's what they do. I get
I have that patented, and then they can't sell their stuff that implements my patent.
Yeah.
And
do a little research, and that way, if you find there's somebody already makes one, I can buy it.
Do the research yourself. You're the one who wants to buy it.
I will.
But yeah, I mean, it'd be really simple, and the amount of power it would draw when off would be insanely low. I mean, it would be like lower than your clock. So, yeah, that'd be really simple to build.
So I had an idea for another little segment.
Oh yeah.
And it probably won't be that frequent because, well, you'll understand why. I have a PayPal account for receiving donations for Synchronet BBS software.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why you've retired.
If I had retired, maybe, but I
yeah.
Anyway, I thought I'd go through and name the donors.
The Synchronet donors?
Yeah.
Okay. We have like 10 seconds to kill.
Well, the history, let me see. I only have 2014, 2015 PayPal records here. I'd probably go back further back in email, but I figure that's long enough. If somebody donated 2 years ago, they're probably not listening to this podcast.
Now, you actually have names?
Yeah.
And do you think that all of those people would be happy to have it disclosed that they donated to Synchronet?
I'm assuming so. I don't know for sure. Nobody ever asked to be anonymous.
Do you have a way for them to ask that?
Yeah, they can put it in a message when they donate. They can put a little, they can type something.
Oh, okay. Is there a web page with this list?
Nope.
Oh, well, that'd be nice too. Yeah. But anyway.
Okay,
sure.
So let me go through the names. Okay,
let's read
so
it up.
I apologize in advance if I mispronounce your name. So, Jamin Hancock. Eric Ulishin. I think we know who that is. Michael Griffin. Matt Johnson.
Uh-huh.
Andy O'Brien. Thorsten Edelman. Billy Humphreys. Now, that one I don't quite... That might have been a joke because it was only 28 cents. I think that's after PayPal took their cut.
So it might have been 50 cents.
Might have been a buck. I don't know.
Or a buck, yeah.
Okay, William McGarity. Kurt Wiesk. Chihuahua Radio. Daniel Reslink. Eric Olishin. And if I'm mispronouncing that, let me know. David Snyder, Andy O'Brien, and CG Learn. Now, that's all for 2014. So, that's like an average of like one a month. And they're not big amounts.
That's better than I expected, yeah.
Yeah, they're not big amounts. All right. So far in 2015, we have Stephanie Venn, Keith Thompson, Innovations Technology Group.
Ooh, that sounds fancy.
Daniel Bilotto. Timothy Glore. David Key. Kevin Freed. F-R-E-D-D-E. I don't know if it'd be Fred or Freed. David Abutful. Abutful.
Abutful?
Abutful. A-B-U-T-B-U-L.
Abutful.
Abutful. Thank you. And William Cheney. So thank you guys very much. I used to sell Synchronet long ago, and it was, a way to make ends meet for a few years. But, really, I just do it for fun. You guys kind of help a little bit to pay for the internet bill or whatever, new equipment helps pay for this podcast.
and the volume of donations is why the Synchronet, the Vertrauen Linux node only has 4 gigs of RAM. and
3 gigs
is 10 years old.
Yeah, please contribute so we can get another gig of RAM.
Although now buying RAM that's compatible with that motherboard is actually fairly expensive because it's obsolete.
And, you know, we'll probably, you know, want to collect donations specifically for the podcast at some point and split the money. when they're, you know, I don't know. We'll see. Depending on how much money that actually amounts to.
Yeah, if it's actually worth the time to calculate what half of it is, at that point, we would. And I don't think we would split the money. I think we'd actually go with, like, you know, better stuff, right? I would be much happier if we got donations for the podcast, spending it on, you know, a better, like a dedicated host space, cool software, cool hardware. You know, you have a studio, I do not. You have toys, I don't. So, you know, that kind of thing. Stuff that would benefit the podcast.
Buy Deuce toys.
Yeah, buy me toys. I love toys, especially electronic toys. And, you know, to be honest, I'm pretty happy with it. But every now and then, you know, I feel like I should have control over the audio clips that are played and not have to ask Rob to go to YouTube. You know, stuff like that. So, I mean, there are definitely things that we could spend money on specifically for
the podcast. What are you talking about?
Specifically for the podcast. So, you know, I would do that way before we split. But, I mean, if we get, like, thousands of dollars a week, I would totally want some of that money for computers and radio stuff not related to the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, so if you plan on donating $1,000 a week, we'll just take that money and spend it on things we like. But if you're just going to donate, like, you know, a buck or two every single week, or, you know, donate once or something, then we'll probably put that toward the podcast.
Well, William Cheney, he's the first one that's ever done this. He actually set up a recurring payment, and it was like 10 bucks a month.
That is awesome.
I know. I thought that was totally cool.
Thank you, William. Yeah. And it's a shame that you have the same name as the guy who shot the president of the United States. Right? Or was it the other way around?
No, he was vice president and he shot somebody else.
Oh, okay.
He was duck hunting, I think, and shot him with a shotgun in the face.
Totally, but he looked like a duck. I mean, honestly. Yeah.
Honest mistake.
I know. It could happen to anyone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That is very much appreciated. The Synchronet donations have definitely convinced me to do the fast CGI support, for example.
Really?
No, this is actually the first time I but, I mean, if I knew people were actually donating to the Synchronet fund, I might be more motivated to do stuff. Although I've been pretty motivated lately. I gotta say, I've been actually kind of surprised at my motivation level. So, that's cool.
Yeah, and most of the time, nobody knows about the donations but me. I usually send an email, thank you. I certainly try to, but, you know, there's been no really public recognition. And, you know, this is, you know, a little more personable than just, I think, posting somebody's name or something or putting them on a website list.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely appreciate it. And, you know, for now anyway, you know, if you want to help keep the podcast going, I've certainly spent a little bit of money. I know Steven's, you know, bought a nice headset. And
I bought that for the radio, actually.
Well, it's working good for the podcast.
Yeah, I'm really happy with the headset, but I totally did not buy it for the podcast.
Come on. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Got to recoup that cost there, you know.
Yeah, it was. I think I spent like $25 on it, and then I bought parts for it. Actually, I bought it used from a radio station in Canada, and eBay. Via eBay. Yes, and there was a problem with the microphone.
I can't remember. Yeah, so it was like wasn't it totally DOA? Or just the microphone was DOA.
I don't even remember. Yeah, the microphone was dead. The headset worked fine. The microphone was dead. And so I ended up buying a replacement microphone boom for it, which was like $60 or $70 or something. And yeah, so I'm like $100 into this $250-$300 headset. So, but I'm very happy with it. Anyway, thanks again. And I think that is our time.
Okay. Let me try this.
That sounds
very mellow.
Yeah.
I got it. You have any suggestions for outro music? You know, something that, you know,
that I own the copyright to?
Right. Or somebody else. Anybody listening, if you want to, you know, write us a song.
Record us a song, actually. We need to. Yeah. You need to write it and record it, because you need to have the performance rights and the other rights.
Let's see. What's this one?
Really?
What?
You're going to find a different outro music?
Yeah.
Right now?
Right now. That sounds spooky.
Perfect for, like, not this episode, but before it.
It just wasn't working for me.
Oh, okay.
You know, I couldn't really find the that track we had going.
All right. Well, maybe next week we'll have better outro music.
Yeah,
and
I'll work
until
on it.
Then, I bid you adieu.
All right. See you later.
Bye.